This is the 12 Songs of Christmas. I'm Alex Rawls, and this is my podcast about Christmas music. Today, I'm talking to Big Boy of Outkast about a modern Christmas classic, Player's Ball. Player's Ball is unusual in that the song introduced the world to Outkast. Big Boy and Andre 3000 first appeared as guests on the remix of TLC's What About Your Friends in 1992. A year later, TLC's label, LaFace Records, included them on the label's Christmas compilation, A LaFace Family Christmas. Putting together a holiday compilation is a long-standing way to promote a label, using the biggest names doing holiday favorites as a way to get people to hear some of the newer artists. They keep the bigger names in front of fans while test marketing its lesser-known artists to see if they find any love. Usher, Toni Braxton, and TLC provided the star power, but Outkast and Player's Ball stole the show. As Big Boy explains in the interview, they weren't that into the idea, but the results worked so well that when Outkast cut Southern Play a List of Cadillac Music, they included it, but only after cutting or obscuring the Christmas references in the song. Since it wasn't particularly Christmassy in the first place, that wasn't that hard to do. A few quick notes on this interview. A, I didn't have a lot of time with Big Boy, so we didn't get to go deep into conversations about Christmas music in general. As a result, this isn't quite the interview I normally do with artists about Christmas music, but I'm still very happy with it. And B, unfortunately, I had to do the interview by phone. If you listened to early episodes of 12 Songs, you heard some ratty audio as I discovered the limitations of cell phones for recording purposes. I now work to avoid taking interviews by phone, but in this case, it was phone or nothing, and I wasn't going to stand on ceremony with someone who cut such an important song. So with that said, here's Big Boy of Outkast on 12 Songs. So to start, how did you become part of the LaFace Family Christmas album?
We were signed to Organized Noise, the producers, and they were actually working on some records for that soundtrack.
Right.
And we had showcased for LaFace a couple of times, and they kind of just didn't get the vision. And so Organized Noise was working on a TLC song. And actually, we got a chance to pick between TLC, what's it called? Sleigh Ride, I think, and Player's Ball. And of course, we took Player's Ball because it was hard. And it was like, we were like, at first, we were like, man, they're trying to destroy our career before we can get started by having to introduce us on the Christmas sound. They're like, they're trying to sabotage us. But then, you know, we were just hungry teenagers. We were like, you know, whatever, we're going to talk about what we do on Christmas was, you know, just hanging out at the dungeon. And just, you know, kind of kicking it, making music. That's what we do. It was like any other typical day. But they put the actual sleigh bells in the track. And then, you know, Sleepy Round sung the chorus on Christmas Day. Fast forward past Christmas, the song was still on fire. So we decided to take the sleigh bells out and change Christmas Day to All Day, Every Day. And it was 6 weeks, number one. And then from that, LA re-signed us and gave us an album deal to make Southern Playlist.
Yeah. So why did you think that doing a Christmas song was going to sabotage you?
We are a hardcore rap group out of Southwest Atlanta. We were, you know, coming, talking about making s'mores and Christmas trees. You know what I mean? It was right. Like, oh, man. So, I mean, who would have thunk it? You know, after all this time, like it was a Christmas song, was our first record.
Yeah. That's part of what's so interesting is, you know, that. It's a song that did introduce you to, you know, mm-hmm. to an audience. Was that something you were conscious of, the fact that this was going to be for most people the first thing they would hear of you?
Yeah, that's why we thought they were trying to fuck our career up before it got started.
Right.
So we were very conscious, but at the same time, we understood what the assignment was, and we were just going to be ourselves. And you know, things happen for a reason.
Why did you think that a Christmas song would be bad for your image?
I mean, because a Christmas song is supposed to be happy, happy, joy, joy, you know?
Right.
And I mean, we were Southern playlistic, Cadillac funky music smoking bud and into the girls, and you know what I mean?
Right.
It was like Christmas is the most what they call it, the most wonderful time of the year.
Yeah.
And you know, it was just, it's a lot of joy in Christmas, and we weren't really joyful.
Right. Did you think Christmas music was cool?
I love Christmas music. I play Christmas music all year long. My favorite Christmas song is Temptations, The Night Before, Silent Night. That's my favorite Christmas song of all time.
Excellent. When you thought about Christmas music, what, like, who or what came to mind? Or, like, who did you think Christmas music was typically for? Like, when you hear the Christmas music, you know, on the radio or in the mall or something, who would you think it was for? And who were the names that kind of came to mind?
My grandmother and my mom and me as a kid with my cousins. It's like something to make kids happy. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
It just sets the tone, you know what I mean? I mean, anytime you hear some sleigh bells or ho, 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 or anything like this, it's jolly, it's supposed to be uplifting and joyful. And I mean, it just gives you that spirit of, right, of giving and love.
Yeah. And how old were you when you started working on Players Ball?
We were 16, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, scene was so thick. Low riders, 77 Sevilles, L Dog, nothing but them blacks. All the players, all the hustlers. I'm talking about a black man heaven here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's beginning to look a lot like wood. Follow my every step. Take notes on how I crep. I'm about to go in depth. This is the way I greet my season. Here's my ghetto rep. I kept to say the least. No, it can't cease. So I begin to piece my two and two together. Got some snowy weather. Have to find something to do better. Bet I set some traps, so shut up that nonsense about some solid night. I got sick crock. If it ain't real, ain't right. I'm like, no matter what the season, forever chill with Smith. I sip my fifth. I chill with Wes and got my reason. So tell me, what did you expect? You thought I'd break my neck to help y'all deck the halls. Oh no, I got other means of celebrating. I'm getting
there was a point, there was a time when I loved Christmas music, and then when I was around 16 or so, that the music that I loved was the music that basically all, you know, punk rock and all sort of confronted, you know, family stuff. And I associated Christmas with family, and
right,
and it was, and at that point, Christmas music all sounded corny to me. And it, yeah, wasn't until I sort of went through a window about, like, you know, about 5 or 6 years where it just all seemed hokey to me. And then I started to hear stuff that pinged again, and I go, oh yeah, that's interesting, and found my way back to it. And you know, now I find a lot interesting in Christmas music, but a lot of the same associations you're talking about. That it always seemed to me like it was parents' music, and it was,
right,
and you can,
you know what brings it back to you too?
What?
When you have kids.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you're the parent and you're going to Toys R Us and you have a baby daughter and you're doing the parent Christmas, you're putting up the Christmas tree and the decorations, and you want to set the tone and you want your kid to feel how you felt when you were a kid. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
So that brings it back. And then now that you get older, like I love it. I love it. I love the way it makes me feel. I love the way it sounds in the house. You know what I mean? I light the fireplaces and light candles and shit.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. Now, when you were, you know, you're 16, you're about young, you're working on this. Like, how did you feel about, like, your relationship to the world? Like, this was kind of, you know, y'all versus the world time?
Yeah, I just didn't want to be corny or soft.
Right.
That's why the song could live past Christmas, because, you know, we talked about what we did on Christmas. We go to the liquor store, get a pint, blow some trees. It was like another day, you know what I mean? Because we were in the dungeon making music. So it wasn't like oh, we're waiting on Santa Claus and, oh, the elves on the shelf going to come out the roof. And like, you know, it wasn't that.
When you were younger, were you like Christmas music then?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Do you absolutely remember your first it. Christmas memory, your first Christmas music memory?
My grandmother playing The Temptations, Silent Night.
Yeah.
She played, when she played that, I just knew it was the holiday season. You know what I mean? I didn't know what it was being so young, but it continued every year. It was a tradition. And every time when that, so she would play it nonstop for 2 months.
Oh, that's great. Do you have Christmas music traditions in your house?
Yes, yes. We make a playlist and add on to it every year. And we just put it on the Sonos. And it's Christmas music from the week before Thanksgiving until New Year's.
Wow. Oh, that's great.
Yep.
What are the most recent additions?
Matter of fact, let me look at my Christmas playlist. This is in my phone. I actually Shazammed some stuff out of the department store last year. Some real cool stuff. Hold on. What do I have on here? I have, Ray Parker Jr. Christmas Time is Here.
Yep.
The Jam.
Yeah.
Alexander O'Neal, Sleigh Ride. My mom loved that song.
Yeah, he's somebody I want to find a way to get a hold of. I want to talk to him about that album.
Yes, man. Of course, Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas. Justin Bieber, Mistletoe.
Cool.
Seal, This Christmas.
Oh, that's excellent.
Bruce Springsteen, Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Yeah.
It's a lot, man.
Good for you. Yeah.
I got a whole bunch of it. Bobby Helms, Jingle Bell Rock.
Yeah. You know, it blows me away that song is now every Christmas season since Billboard changed its charting math. That album, that song now makes top 10 in the Christmas season. It's like that's 1970.
Wow.
He's dead and that song is charting with people who are making hits right now. Every Christmas season.
That's dope.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. That makes me so happy. So.
Yeah, oh, you know who's got a dope Christmas album is Sharon Jones and the Daptones.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man.
Oh, that's very cool.
Can't forget about the Quad City DJs, What You Want for Christmas. That's an all-time favorite. All-time favorite.
Did you know those guys?
Yeah, we went on to our first tours with them, man. We did the Quad City Bass Fest with us and the 69 Boys. It was crazy. Hey, player, what you gonna get, huh, for Christmas? Yeah. Girl, what you gonna get that boy? Come on, come on, come on. What you gonna get, huh, for Christmas? Yeah. Girl, what you gonna get that boy? What did you think of them making a Christmas song? It was jamming. It was jamming. I mean, in Atlanta, they play it on the radio like clockwork.
Right.
Every year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that was after Players Ball. I guess they figured, like, shit, if they can do it, we can do it. And it was a bass record, too, and it's out of here.
Right. So now what do you think about Players Ball?
It's classic, man.
Yeah.
Classic. It was like, I guess it was like how we were the Christmas gift to the world to start our career. And it was our gift from the man up above.
Yeah.
For us. You know?
Does it ever occur to you to try to make a Christmas song again?
Not really.
Yeah.
You can't talk Players Ball.
No.
Can't really talk Players Ball.
Right. Let's go. In 2018, I talked to writer, critic, and now podcaster David Dennis Jr. about Players Ball. I've liked David's writing for a long time and was glad that I got the chance last year to interview him and his father about David's book, The Movement Made Us. In it, David tells a story of his father's work in Mississippi during the Civil Rights Movement. The book is a reminder that change happens when ordinary people do extraordinary things, and how high the cost of change can be. I'll put a link to that interview in the show notes. Recently, he launched a podcast called Rap Stories, which gives you exactly what the title suggests. He talks to artists who made albums that are important to him to better understand how they came to be on both the big picture and nuts and bolts levels. It's available on all the major podcast platforms. So here's that conversation. Since this was early in 12 Songs Run, I apologize if the audio is a little dodgy here as well. What about Players Ball makes it a song that, you know, in some way you want to talk about as a Christmas song?
So it's interesting. So Players Ball was on a Christmas compilation. So Outkast was trying to, get their start. They needed a big single to sort of launch their careers. And so they ended up going on this, LaFace Christmas Christmas compilation.
Yeah, LaFace Family Christmas.
Yeah, LaFace Family Christmas. So they wanted Outkast to make a Christmas song, which sounds, today it sounds like, oh, they could pull it off. Andre could sing something about Christmas and people would rap about it and make sense. But at the time, it did not make a lot of sense because these were two down south rappers who rapped about Cadillacs and, you know, they were still trying to find themselves and, they were in the gangster rap sort of, atmosphere. And so they decided that a straight up Christmas song would be corny, right? So they came up with Players Ball, which is a song about, like pimps and players and grits and catfish and Southern lifestyle that really didn't have much to do about Christmas, but it ended up on the compilation and became like their first big single, and it really launched Outkast. So one of the reasons that it's such an interesting Christmas song is that it's not really a Christmas song, but it is a song that, you know, if it did not come together, we may not have Outkast.
Right. The one of the things that, and actually let's start by hearing it, and this is this is the version from the LaFace Family Christmas. This is 1993. They would eventually, when they first released Southern Playalistic Cadillac Music, that at that point they remade it and they changed the lyrics slightly to get the Christmas out of the song. But this is the original, so we'll hear that and then we can get back to it.
Man, scene was so thick. Low rise, 77 Sevilles, L Dog, nothing but them lacks. All the players, all the hustlers. I'm talking about a black man heaven here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's beginning to look a lot like wood. Follow my every step. Take notes on how I crept. I'm about to go in depth. This is the way I greet my season. Here's my ghetto rep. I kept, to say the least, no, it can't cease. So I begin to piece my 2 and 2 together. Got snow, snowy weather. Have to find something to do better, bet. I set some traps, so shut up that. Nonsense about some solid night. I got sick rock if it ain't real, ain't right. I'm like, no matter what the season, forever chill with Smith. I sip my fifth. I chill with Weston, got my reason. So tell me, what did you expect? You thought I'd break my neck to help y'all deck the halls. Oh no, I got other means of celebrating. I'm getting blizzard at Hojo, I got the hoochie waiting. I made it through another year, can't ask for nothing much more. It's Outkast for the books, I thought you knew, so now you know, let's go.
how does that lead to Outkast, or how does Outkast change from this?
So that leads Outkast became really the big single, the big song from the Christmas album, and it became their first big single. And you think about the people who were on that album. I mean, I think what TLC was on the album.
Yep. Tony Braxton.
Tony Braxton, a lot of big 90s heavy hitters were on the album, and this becomes the breakout song from these two guys nobody's ever heard of before, right? And so then they decided to shoot a video for it to make the lead single, and, Diddy, Sean Combs, directs the video, right? And makes this real gritty Southern rap video with Andre 3000. His shirt is off, there was a documentary on Organized Noise about this video and how Diddy wanted to make them, saw them as fashion icons and sex symbols and all this stuff very early on, right? So you see the vision for what Outkast is in this very early Christmas song, but also you see, their creativity. You see how they decide to flip things on its head that they would do for the rest of their careers. They decided to, all right, we have to fit this mold of a Christmas song. We have to do it in a very tangential way in order to keep our identities.
Right. And one of the things I think is that I was thinking about while listening to it was, well, very clearly, it's still at this point, they are working sort of on the gangsta access or sort of axis. And, chill with Smith, chill with Wesson. But at the same time, part of the thing I was kind of thinking about while listening to it and getting to look a lot like What and Shut Up With the Nonsense About Silent Night is it's referencing Christmas while clearly sort of backing away and then establishing its sort of alternative. And that idea of here's a celebration, Christmas. We got another way to go with this. And the idea of making your own thing. I was really fascinated by that. I think on one hand, I think it's part of what kind of has come to resonate for me with Christmas is the way that it's an occasion that people end up ultimately creating all their own things. You create so many of your own celebrations, create your own rituals, your own traditions. But I liked in this time the idea of also proposing an entire alternative.
You think about mid-90s hip-hop, right? That goes against the idea of Christmas, right? Like being really happy and having a really nice childhood where you get a bunch of gifts in the morning sort of goes against the idea of what you are usually rapping about if you are talking about mid-90s, hip hop. You think about men accessing joyous emotions that offers a sort of vulnerability that a lot of artists don't have, especially early on. You think about, maybe they make a different, more direct Christmas song 10 years into their careers. They can do that once you've been established, but you have two guys who start off their careers talking about candy canes and new toys and Christmas and all stuff that boxes them into something that is not true to, that's not really good for a career. You run the risk of being Will Smith, right? instead of being Outkast, that's something that you have to, that clearly is on their mind. And then going back to what you're saying about this is what black men think about. This is what the black experience in America is, that we don't necessarily get a ton of gifts, we don't get the Christmas Story is a very white story, sure. That's not necessarily what happens in low income housing in Atlanta, Georgia. Right. Which is why it's interesting to hear the intro to the song with the way that they are talking about the scene was so thick and the cars and all that stuff. That is how, with that wonderment that a child has for gifts for Christmas. But they're talking about what their experience is and the people that they look up to. A lot of times in rap, when you ask people to take a creative look at Christmas, they always say, what if Santa, there's a lot of songs about Santa Claus comes to the hood, right. You know, and that's how we think outside the box. But this thinks outside the box about the whole entire premise of Christmas and what is Christmas and what does it look like for gifts for us?
Sure.
Right. What does it look like for celebrations where we're from? And I think that's one of the reasons that this works so well, because it speaks to a whole lot of people in this country who say, like, I don't really get up for Christmas and get a ton of toys. But when I go to the cookout or I go to the ball or I go and see the nice cars, like, that's Christmas for me. And that's why, you know, that's why the song sort of works so well as a Christmas song, but also a song to launch, you know, to launch a career.
Well, another question I was thinking about when I was listening to it was, was this a thing that was already happening? And this was basically, they were saying, you know, yeah, Christmas is happening here, but the same day over here, this is happening. Or were they just kind of imagining the alternative? Do you have any thoughts on that? Well,
that's a good question. It seems as though, you know, I mean, it could all be happening at the same time. I mean, that's for, you know, a lot of that, you get to the heart of the idea of this sort of cliched idea of the spirit of Christmas, right? Of, oh, it's not about the gifts, it's about the people. And for a lot of folks don't get a ton of gifts, especially, it's about who's coming over.
Right.
Right. It's about who do you get to see? It's about who's cooking. It's about whose car is coming over, who's got the nice suits. Like, those are the real memories that you get, that you're supposed to get from Christmas. So in one instance, this is a very inspirational Christmas tale about what Christmas is all about. And that's about, you know, the folks you get to see and the family and the camaraderie that you get.
When I was, you know, 24 or so, 25, that friends and I would, on Christmas night, after we'd had a full day of family Christmas, we got together and played poker all night. And there was that sense of, at some point, you know, you're young, you know, you're part of a music culture, the stuff that interests you isn't necessarily defined by being in It's a Wonderful Life. And at some point, if you're going to be you, you want something a little different in that day. And so it's like that idea that completely resonated with me, where at the end, you know, the real time is the time with their friends, checking cars, checking out who's around, you know, and the sort of the all, you know, what is going on besides the family thing.
They were, you know, getting out of high school at the time when they were making this song. So there is that sort of that sort of transition that you're talking about, you know, when you're going from college or going from high school into your college years, or you're leaving that traditional, you know, if you do take that break from high school until you have your own family, that break between traditional Christmases almost, you know,
right.
Like you're trying to find new Christmas things to do, or you're not that into it, or you may go home, but you go find out some with your friends. So it's all about, like you said, those new young male traditions that you get before you sort of become, you know, revert back to this this happy-go-lucky Christmas person when the kids start coming and stuff like that.
Right. Thanks to Big Boy and David Dennis Jr. for the time and the talk. If you have comments, questions, or feedback, you can find me on Facebook at 12 Songs of Christmas. I've also set up a Facebook group, Christmas Music 365. If you just want to talk Christmas music without necessarily being tied to the episode, I'm here and interested. Let's swap cool tracks. If you like what you hear, tell friends. I'm proud of 12 Songs and would love for more people to hear it. Early on, I mentioned that Players Ball introduced Outkast to the world. They're not the first act, and not even the first hip-hop act, to introduce itself to the world via Christmas music. Curtis Blow's most enduring hit is The Breaks, but it came out in 1980 after Christmas Rapping served as his debut to the world in 1979. Rap historian and Christmas music fan Bill Adler remembered the song being played after Christmas and into 1980 in New York when he was on 12 Songs. But I haven't been able to confirm that. It's one of those details that I buy because hip-hop is so new, and it's also one I'm kind of skeptical about, since stations have always been pretty quick to pack up Christmas music once the holiday's over. Whatever. I like the story and I get the sentiment. I'll include a link to the interview with Bill in the show notes, and we'll finish today with Christmas Rapping. Talk to you next week.
Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the
house. Hold it now, wait, hold it, that's played out. Hit it!
You give me all that jive about things you wrote before I was alive. Cause this ain't 1823, ain't even 1970. Now I'm the guy named Curtis Blow, and Christmas is one thing I know. So every year, just about this time, I celebrate it with a rhyme. Gonna shake it, gonna bake it, gonna make it good, gonna rock chocolate.